he wrote is what I'm going to talk about. Our hope. Our hope. Here in 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks about a people that didn't receive the love of the truth, and they were going to be damned, and God sent them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. But Paul said in verse 13, he says, we're not like that. We're not deceived. God hasn't sent us a strong delusion. And we love the truth. And he says, we're different. God's made us different. Here's how he made us different. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. Here's the first thing that made us to differ. Beloved of the Lord. God loved his people in Christ for the foundation of the world. He loved us. Beloved of God. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, to them in Rome, beloved of God. So he wasn't writing to every Roman. He was only writing to those that God loved. And then he goes on to say this. Because God, because he loved you, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Well, how did he manifest these things to you? Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Your election, your God's love towards you. Your belief of the sanctification, your sanctification, belief of the truth was by hearing the gospel. He called you by the gospel. And here's what he called us also to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days we'll be just like him. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast. And hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Our hope. He said he gave us a good hope. Do you have a good hope? Do you have a good hope? I read about a hope that maketh not ashamed because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. That we have a hope in the glory of God. And one of the most common expressions in the human language is hope. I hope. I hope. I hope. It's very common. And the hope that the Scriptures gives us is not in the everyday vernacular the way that people would use it. And if you say something to someone today, they say, do you have about your soul? You got a good hope? Do you have a hope? Well, I hope it'll be all right when I get to the end. I certainly hope so. People say, I hope I'll be a better man someday. I hope we'll all get to heaven. But why would anybody have a hope? What is their hope? What's the hope built on? You've got to have a foundation. You've got to have a foundation. And if you ask most people what their hope is, they say, well, I hope I get to heaven. Why it makes you think you'll get to heaven? Tell me the reason you're going to think you're going to get to heaven. Got to have a foundation to it. Got to have a reason behind it. But there's a lot of people, they hope and they go on living. They hope and they grow old. And they hope and they die at last. And most people die without a hope. Almost, it's rare to find anybody that dies with a hope. It really is. But the Scriptures tells us that we're saved by hope. And hope that's seen is not hope. So that's why we, with patience, we wait. We wait. And I want to make sure my hope is sound. I want a good, sound hope. Don't you? I want to know and that my sins are forgiven, and that's what I'm going to talk about, hope. That we just make sure that our hope is sound, that our sins are forgiven, our hearts have been made new, that our souls are at peace with God, and that our hope is good, that's living, And then it won't make us ashamed. And when he talks about making us not ashamed, he's talking about making us ashamed at that day. You know, it's easy for us here going to a church and going to a place where everybody's supposed to be believers and everybody's got religion. We certainly wouldn't be ashamed in that. But when it comes to facing God and facing God Almighty at the judgment, or face ourselves when we're getting ready to go into eternity, now would we not be ashamed as we stand before God? And if you're ashamed of your hope now, you'd be ashamed of the hope before the Lord. So I know you won't mind. I know you won't mind this, having your hope examined. I know you won't. If it's good, it won't hurt you. If it's bad, maybe God will make you find it out. You willing to have your hope examined? Huh? Willing to have your hope put to the test according to God's Word? If you got one, all it'll do is just it'll just make it that much surer for you. If you ain't, you've got a bad hope. Maybe God will teach it to you. The first thing I want to say, and he says, there God hath given us a good hope. And let me tell you something about a hope. If you've got a hope that makes not ashamed, it's a hope that you can explain. If you can't explain your hope, you ain't got one. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You keep this verse of Scripture. Look over in 1 Peter. Look over in 1 Peter 3:15. It's a hope that a man can explain. If I want some information, I don't know something about something, how something's done, I find somebody that does. They can explain it to me, or they can get it done themselves. And if I was to ask you what your hope is, hope that God will accept you, hope that you will end up in glory, hope that you will cross Jordan and enter into that celestial city, you ought to be able to tell me and explain to me what that hope is. Look what Peter said here in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Give a reason of the hope that's in you. I tell you, man, surely, if my hope is sound, you ought to be able to give a good account of it. You ought to be able to give a good account of how God saved you. You ought to be able to give a good account of telling you why God saved you. You ought to be able to give a good account of where God saved you, and on what grounds or what foundation you have that God will accept you when you get to the end. You must be able, surely you could do that. And I'll tell you something that you don't have to have to have a good hope. You don't have to have a great lot of knowledge. You don't have to have a great knowledge of the Bible. That's not required. Great knowledge. I say a man must know what his hope is. Not how, you know, a man can possess something so real and so glorious as salvation and not know anything about it? Something so real and so vital? Great knowledge is not required. Talking well. There's a lot of people that can talk well. I mean, they can talk very, very well about religion. They can talk very well about books. They can talk very well about the different Spurgeon or John Gill and quote a lot of Scripture. Talking well isn't necessary to salvation. The man who has a good hope, though, ought to be able to tell us why he has a good hope. If all he can say is like old Jack the Huckster. Jack, how do you know you're saved? I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. Is that all you got to say about yourself? What about how you better? Well, I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. But if he can't tell nothing about his hope, I put a question mark there. And in the Scriptures, men, Christians knew something about their salvation. They knew something about how God saved them, and they knew something about God and His glory. Do you believe that? Do you believe you would have went to Corinth and asked somebody, if you would have went to Corinth and said, yes, I want you to tell me what your good hope is. Stephanus, tell me your good hope. Priscilla, tell me your good hope. And then if you would have went over to the Colossians, you said, Epaphras, tell me how in the world you think, what's your hope? And then go to the Philippians. Go over to Philippians. And ask them. Ask Tychicus. Tychicus, what's your good hope over there? Ask the Philippians. Ask that Philippian jailer. First convert in Philippi. That Philippian jailer. Give me a reason for your hope. Oh, I don't know. No. What about the Thessalonian? Paul said, brethren, knowing, beloved, your election of God. How do you know you're God's elect? What about in Ephesians? If you went to ask an Ephesian, ask somebody from Ephesus, what's your good hope? Well, I know that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. How do you know that? God told me that. And I'll tell you what, something else. According as He is, I know He chose me in Christ for the foundation of the world. I know He loved me and made me holy and without blame before Him in love. And I know that if I'm accepted, He made me accepted in the beloved. Oh my. You believe us? If you went to any of those places, those believers couldn't have told you what their hope was. Ignorance may suit a lot of people. It may suit a Roman Catholic, and it may suit an Episcopalian and an Anglican. But I tell you, it don't suit me. It don't suit the Lord's people. And it ought never suit God's people. He ought to know what he believes. And if he doesn't, he's in a bad way. Let me ask you, can you give an explanation of the grounds of your hope? In Bunyan's Progress, there was a lot of people in there. And there was a fellow named Ignorance. And old Ignorance just walked along with everybody else. When Ignorance got to his journey's end, there was a fellow there in a boat. And that fellow in that boat, his name was Vain Hope. And old Vain Hope, old Ignorance, got in Vain Hope's ferry. And he ferried him across the river. Didn't have a bit of problem getting him across the river. And he got out and he walked up to the celestial city. And he wasn't allowed in. You know why? He couldn't give an answer for the reason of his hope. He was ignorant of everything that he was asked. Didn't know nothing. Didn't know anything. But oh, beloved, listen. Behold, a man that's got a good hope, he'll always be able to give an account of it. That's why our Lord Jesus, he talked to Nicodemus, and he says, Nicodemus, when he came to the Lord by night, he said, Nicodemus, he said, except you be born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't see it. Oh, Nicodemus scratched his head and said, oh my, how can a man enter the second time in his mother's womb when he's old? And you know what our Lord said to him? He said, you mean you're a master of Israel. You're a master of Israel. And you don't know these things? You don't know nothing about how a man's regenerated? You don't know nothing about that infant cast out in the field? You didn't know nothing about Noah coming out of that ark and coming up on a new earth? You didn't know nothing about that valley of dry bones that God had to speak to and give life to? You didn't know nothing about God having a miracle birth when Isaac was born? Child of promise? You don't know nothing about any of those things? You're a master of Israel? You say you know something? And oh, I tell you, that's where we're at. And let me tell you something. A good hope, if you got one, comes from this blessed word right here. That's where it comes from. Huh? Look over here in Romans 15. Look in Romans 15 just a minute. That's where your hope comes from. It comes from the Scriptures. When you get a person who's got a good hope, who's got a sound hope, he can turn to God's Word and he can find him a verse. He can find him a verse. He can find him a blessed doctrine. He can find the truth and say, "There's right there's my hope is. There it is, right there. I found it in the scriptures. There's what it is." Look what he said in Romans 15:4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." The Bible gives us our hope. The Bible, we got to be able to turn to a verse of scripture. Look in Psalm 119 with me just a minute. Psalm 119. You ought to be able to turn to the scriptures. And I want you to look with me in verse 49. Psalm 119 and verse 49. You know, a man ought to be able to turn to the scriptures. You know, he said, and be able to turn, and one of the verses of scriptures that God used to teach me the gospel and open my heart to the truth, I remember it, and he said, and I was saying, is salvation of works or salvation all of grace? And is holiness something we do or is holiness something you do? And I asked those questions to God, and I prayed and prayed and waited for an answer. And you know what the answer God gave me? He never spoke to me in my ear. He never gave me no visions. You know what he did? The verse of scripture, he brought it to my mind and I looked at it just like a light come on. And I asked him those questions. Is salvation by grace or by works? Or is it both? Is holiness something we do or holiness something you do? And this is the verse of scripture God taught me the gospel with and opened my heart with and established me on what salvation is. God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. That done that. That killed my works right there. But according to His own purpose, He saves people on purpose. And grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Huh? Saved by grace, made holy in Christ, and saved on purpose. Now, I'd go right there. If I lose my mind, that ain't going to make that verse any less than what it was really. That's what I'm talking about. If you've got a good hope, you can go someplace in that blessed book and find something that says, that's my anchor right there. And look what he said here in Psalm 119:49. "Remember the word unto thy servant which upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Your word. Your word. Look over in verse 81. Verse 81 here, Psalm 119. Listen to this. "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." I hope in thy word. You know what he says when I hope in your word? God, you made a promise. It's your word. You said this is how I save sinners. This is how I express myself. This is how I make myself known to people. Through the word. And so God gives us His word and He lays His word down and He tells us what His word is. And we say, well, that's what God said. So that's my hope right there. What did Abraham, what did he say? He said he gave glory to God. Huh? And oh, listen, beloved. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was saying, no man can come to me except those which the Father hath given me, they turned around and the multitude quit walking with Him. They all turned and walked away from Him. He looked to the 12 and He said, will you also go away? He said, where shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The Spirit, the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. Can you go to the scriptures and find you reason for your hope? Huh? It's not good enough to have good feelings. Oh my goodness, I don't feel, you know, if I went by my feelings, I wouldn't be here 75% of the time. If I went down, felt good and felt like preaching, And you know, but it's not good enough to have good feelings about the state of our soul. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. The only thing that there is worth believing is the Word of God. That's it. A fool trusts in his own heart. good feelings without some warrant from the Word of God, that absolutely is not good enough. That don't make a good hope. Feelings does not make a good hope. It doesn't do it. And it's not enough to have a good opinion of yourself or other people's soul. That's a good opinion won't save you either. Somebody may tell you, boy, you've lived a good life. You've been an awful fine fella, you know. You've got, and people say this all the time, he has such a good heart. He's got such a good heart. He's never done anybody any harm. Not been bad as most. Those are miserable, miserable comforts to face God with. That's a miserable comfort. I'd hate to face God with, I'm as good as anybody else. I'd hate to face God as if, you know, I ain't done nothing to harm anybody. And you know, when somebody dies, I don't care how sorry they was, somebody's always got this. They just turn into a saint the minute they die. I mean, just as quick as they die, they become the best person that ever was. They become the sweetest, they become the best heartedest, they become the most generous, they become the most kind. Slap the wife around, kick the dog if he's in the doorway when he's going in. Got upset if the meal wasn't on the table at the right time, but when he died, he was such a fine fellow. Oh, listen, you can have a good opinion of yourself, a good opinion of somebody else, but good opinion is not a good hope. It's not a good hope at all. Oh, miserable comforts. And you can have a good opinion of others or yourself without the warrant of God's Word and won't make a good hope. You know, hopeful and faithful and Christian, they all began to travel together. They met one another when they was on their journey in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And old Hopeful, that was his name, Hopeful. Old Christian asked him, he says, Hopeful, what's your hope? He reached in his bosom and he pulled out a warrant. And you know what his warrant was? The Word of God. You know, if the law goes get a warrant. They want to come into your house and search them. They got to get a warrant. They got to get proof. Got to get evidence that they've got a right to come in. Yeah. He reached in there and pulled out the Scriptures and he had his warrant. He had his evidence. He had his truth. It was the Word of God. Oh, Christian looked at it and Faithful looked at it and said, oh, we've got the same blessed hope. Oh, my. A man who knows the soundness of his hope, he can find it in God's Word. His heart hangs on some portion of Scriptures. I remember Bruce Crabtree telling me years ago, and he was in trouble with his soul. He was having such a hard time. And he says, you know, he fell out of bed one night and he began to pray, oh Lord, oh God, do something for me. Please have mercy on me. And he found a verse of Scripture, Psalm 136, I believe it is, and it says, oh Lord, plead my cause. And he found that and he began to say, Lord, you plead my cause. You plead my cause. You plead my cause. And once you say, God, you plead my cause, that's exactly what you'll do from the faith. If you ever have a good cause, you'll say, Lord, you take up my case from here on in. Oh my, it's like a dying thief in prison I read about one time. Fella come in and read the Scriptures to him. He read to him about that thief dying on the cross. And how the Lord told him he'd take him with him into paradise. And that old prisoner dying in prison, that old thief that was in prison, he said, are there any more thieves in that book that you're reading from? He was looking for some holes. He said, man, I'm a dying thief. That thief was saved when he dies. Is there any more of them in there? He just said, Zacchaeus is one. Oh, he said, but oh, he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. And beloved, all Christians, all believers, this is their experience. Unlearned, poor, and as many as they are have all got a hold of something in this blessed book. And this causes them to have a hope in God's precious Word. And that's why I read to you this morning, the hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And the hope that maketh not ashamed is never ever separate from God's Word. That's what our Lord told me. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For they are they which testify of me. Oh my, and that's why our Lord told the Pharisees, you do err, neither knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. And let me tell you something. Tell you another thing about a good hope. It's a hope that rests entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got a good hope, it rests entirely on the Lord Jesus. Huh? Ain't that what Paul said? Look over here. Go to your right. Over here. Right there. We're on second. Look in 2 Timothy. No. 1 Timothy here. Verse 1. 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, verse 1. We're right there. You're right there when you're in 2 Thessalonians. Look what Paul said here. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Did you hear what he said? Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, there's only one Redeemer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one Mediator between God and men, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to have peace with God, and Jesus Christ is that peace. He made peace by the blood of His cross. And Paul told him in Ephesians 2, he said, Christ is our peace. He's the one who wrought out salvation. He's the one who made reconciliation. And if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness come any other way, if you accept it of God any other way that you think, then you've missed it. There's only one way to be accepted of God. And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me. Are you heavy? With your sins? Are you heavy with your religion? Are you heavy with good opinion of yourself and you're just tired of carrying it? Come unto me if you're heavy. Come unto me if you're heavy laden. And you know what he said? I'll give you rest. And then you take my yoke upon you and you'll find rest. I'll give it to you and then you'll find it. You'll find that it's in me. Huh? The man who has a good hope cast himself with all of his sins, with all of his life, with everything that he is and everything that he done, he cast it on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, it's in your hands to do with. Oh, Lord, I got nobody else to turn to but you. Nobody else can save me but you. Nobody else can cleanse me but you. Nobody else can keep me but you. Nobody else can save me but you. I'm telling you, cast everything on him. You cast it on Christ. And it's His atonement. Cast it on Christ because He went to the cross and He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. It's Christ and His righteousness. We don't have a righteousness but what He gave us. It's Christ and His work. He's the one that bore our sins in His own body on the tree. It's Christ alone who made satisfaction for our sins to God Almighty. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in His intercession. Oh my, if He didn't intercede for us, you wouldn't last no longer than a snowball in the blast furnace. Now ain't that right? If the Lord didn't intercede for us. Right this minute in time. Right now. He's got to always intercede for us. He's got to intercede for every imperfection that you and I have. He's got to intercede for us when we're weak. Got to intercede for us when we're strong. If we get strong, He's got to intercede for us to bring them down. If they're too down, He's got to intercede for us to bring us up. If we go over here, He's got to intercede for us to bring us back this way. If we're over there, He's got to intercede to bring us this way. He's going to intercede until He keeps us right when we ain't got no place else to go but to Christ. Ain't you grateful He's interceding for you? Huh? Oh my. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the foundation of the confidence of any believer's soul. There's no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ. Church membership is no foundation for a hope. There's nothing solid there. That's no foundation for hope. Nothing solid there. Well, I'll take the bread and the wine. That's no foundation of hope. None whatsoever. Well, I was baptized in water. That's no foundation of hope. Christ Himself is the only true foundation of a hope. His work is perfect. We're complete in Him. And on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And look over here in 1 Peter. Let me show you this. And this is from Isaiah 28. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. This is out of Isaiah 28. And 1 Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:6, talking about a good hope, a sure foundation. He's the solid rock. God hath picked me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Look what he said here, 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures. You see where Peter's going first for his hope? And what he's going to tell folks what a foundation is? You say, I've got to have a foundation to face God with. I need a foundation for my salvation. I need a foundation on which I can face this world with. He said, so it's contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And listen to this now. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Won't be confused. Huh? Living people, dying people. There's nowhere in the world we can make too much of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't make too much of Him. Huh? We can't make too much of His dying love. Can't make too much of His life. Can't make too much of the cross. Can't make too much of His bearing our sin. We can't make too much of Christ. And that's why we sing that old hymn, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. Tell it to me over and over and over again. Tell it to me. And let me tell you this. A good hope is felt inwardly in the heart. I mean, it's a heart. This is a heart work. Salvation's a heart work. Ain't that what I said? Hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And look over here in Romans. Let me show you this. Romans 12. Talking about a hope. It's something that's done in the heart. Romans 12:12. The man who has a good hope is conscious of it. You can't have a good hope and not be conscious of it. Look what the apostle said. Rejoicing in hope. You can't rejoice in something you ain't got. Can you, Brad? Rejoicing in hope. Patient in your trials. And always praying, continue in a minute, just pray just like that. Huh? Oh, rejoicing in hope. Oh my. The man who has a good hope, he's conscious of it. He knows he has a well-grounded expectation of good things to come. Now let me tell you something. His state may go up, may go down. Our state changes. Our state of being changes. Sometimes you feel good, sometimes you feel bad, sometimes you're healthy, sometimes you're sick, sometimes you feel real, real strong in the faith, other times you're extremely weak in the faith. Other times you have great joy and hope, and other times your joy just seems like it's gone and you struggle in everything you do. Sometimes you pray with great earnestness, and other times you can't pray at all. The one thing that doesn't change is our standing before God never changes. You're righteous, it never changes. Your acceptance in the Beloved never changes. Your feelings go up and down. Your state changes all the time. You can be up today and be in the bed this evening, hardly able to get out of bed. That's your state. But if you're up, or whether you're in bed, your standing stays exactly the same. Ain't you glad that is? Ain't you glad that is? And all. And I know that feelings, and I said, you know, that feelings is not salvation. But because feelings have been perverted and abused doesn't mean that they aren't real. That there are some real feelings. And the word tells us, it describes lots and lots of feelings. Peace, that's a feeling, ain't it? Is peace a feeling? You can't have peace and not feel it. Peace is wonderful. It's a wonderful, peaceful feeling. I mean, peace is just wonderful. It's something you can feel. And oh my, what about rest? You can feel rest, can't you? You say, boy, I need to rest. And so you say, well, I'm going to rest. And rest is a feeling. You know whether you've rested in Christ or not. You know whether you've sat down and reposed your soul in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. You know whether He's got confidence that He can take you and keep you, and you rest in Him and you cease from your works. You know whether you cease from your work, and you know whether you've reposed your soul in Christ or not. Rest is a feeling. Joy. Joy is a feeling. That's why I laugh a lot when I'm preaching. That's why I laugh when other people preach, because it fills me with such joy. I mean, somebody go to preaching to me and take the scriptures for me and open up the scriptures to me and tell me something that I've heard 10,000 times. But it still causes me joy. I just enjoy it so much. Huh? Confidence. Confidence is a feeling. Paul said, I've been confident of this one thing. Confidence is a feeling. And the witness of the Spirit. How can you have... He said, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. David said, I fear no evil. That's a feeling when you don't fear no evil. You don't fear any evil. Do you fear evil when you face God? Do you fear evil? When you know that you're saved by grace through Christ and His blessed blood? And a lot of people enjoy assurance. I enjoy assurance. Paul himself said he had assurance. You know what he said about it? He said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And not only that, but I'm persuaded. I've been convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that what I've committed unto Him, He's able to keep it. Against that day. So what he said, I give everything into your hands, and when that day comes, Lord, you'll keep it. You'll keep me. And when that day comes, everything that I give to Him, He'll say, there He is. I've got it all. I've got it all. I got His soul. I got His sin. I got everything. I got it. I took care of it. Then my sheep, I packed them all away on my shoulders till they got to glory. Oh, my. Paul said, I'm persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. Nothing. Huh? And I tell you what, we feel this in our heart. We believe it in our hearts. And I'm telling you, that's what I'm talking about. You know, you know when this is. Can a man pass from death to life and not have a feeling? Lazarus come forth from the dead. Didn't feel a thing. That's what he makes sense, doesn't it, David? Pass from death unto life and not know nothing about it? Not to be able to. I know that people's always talking about this, he's a born again Christian, he's a born again. There ain't no kind of ever Christian, every believer is born again. God makes no distinctions in them. If you've got a new heart, you know you've got a good heart. If you've been made partakers of the divine nature, you know you have. If you've been raised from the dead and walking in Christ right now, you know that. And if you don't know that, you're in trouble. Huh? Oh, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. They take the grave clothes of him, and he said, well, what in the world happened to me? I don't know. No, that's not the way it works. No. And let me give you my last point. A good hope is manifested outwardly in this life. If you've got a good hope, Christ is your life. Most all of us here, Christ is our life. Our life revolves around the gospel. Our life revolves around one another. Our life revolves around the scriptures, around Christ, around the gospel, around one another. Our whole lives do that. Our lives are affected by what we believe. Where we go, the company we keep, the conversations we have, the way we look at the world, everything is because of this gospel in us. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, He told us over and over and over, He said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me?" Faith, if you got it, it works, and it works by love. "Unto you therefore which believe, Christ is precious." And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We can't walk in darkness and be in Christ. Faith without works is dead as the body without the spirit. And a hope that doesn't make a man honest, honorable, truthful, sober, diligent, unselfish, loving, meek, kind, and faithful in all the relations of his life, it didn't come from above. I mean, God saves us and changes us. And beware of a gospel that never changed you. Oh my, that's what we're talking about. That's grace of salvation that doesn't make a man honest, doesn't make him honorable, doesn't make him truthful, doesn't make him sober, diligent, unselfish, loving, meek, kind, faithful in all the relations of his life. God didn't give it to him. You know, I know these things ain't perfect in us. But boy, I heard a fellow use an illustration one time, said, you start at the head of the Mississippi. Start the Missouri, runs into the Mississippi. And you come down through there, and you go down the Mississippi, and you'll be going down it, and it may go a mile this way. And then it'll go straight this way, and then it'll go back this way. It'll go that way, and this way, and that way, and this way. But it's going to end up in the Gulf. And that's the way our life is. We start, and we... But the general tenor of our life is going down that river. We're going in that direction. Ain't that right? It's not perfect by no stretch in ourselves. And that's why we need the gospel. And that's where we get our good hope at, is in Christ, in the gospel. And look with me now back over here in 2 Thessalonians, and I'm through. Where in the world did we get this good hope at? Where did we get our good hope at? Well, look what he says there in verse 16. "Now, Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and a good hope." And how did He give it to us? Through grace. And guess what it does? This grace and this good hope and this everlasting love that God gave us, it comforts our hearts. And He establishes us. He does. Well, we examine our hope today. Have you got a good one? Have you got a good one? If you do, God gave it to you, Christ gave it to you, and He gave you everlasting consolation, and He gave you that good hope, and He gave it through grace, and He taught it to you through the gospel. Amen. Our Father, oh blessed, blessed Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for this blessed, blessed hope You've given us, this good hope, this sure hope. Oh, thank You for it. And it's a hope that makes not ashamed. We're not ashamed. We're not ashamed as we stand before You. Not ashamed of our hope, not ashamed of the Scriptures, not ashamed to confess our Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope and plea. Wherever we're at, and especially, Lord, when You take us from this world to the next, we'll not be ashamed because of what You did. What You did. And God help and have mercy and give a good hope to those who don't have one. Give a good hope to those who don't have it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. 272 in the hymn book. 272 in the hymn book. Let's stand together. Now listen, if the Lord ever gives you a good hope and ever brings you to where you trust in the Lord Jesus, you do what I said this morning. Cast all on Him. You come tell me. I'd love to know about it. You don't have to tell the church. You don't have to make a profession openly unless you want to. But if you feel like you've got a good hope and you ain't, and you won't tell it, and you want to confess the Lord Jesus, you tell me.
He shall